Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Goodish Girls. I'm Cass.
I'm Dallas.
I'm Madison.
And today we have some very special guests. We have Jen with Bookish Wine and author Lauren Sinatra. Hi, guys. Welcome. So Bookish Wine is a quarterly membership where you receive a special edition romantasy book, which, Lauren, you are being featured for this quarter. And in that box as well, there's the book, a wine that's chosen to match with artwork inspired by the book, a letter from the author, and lots of other little special gifts inside. What inspired Bookish Wine? How did you come up with that, Jen?
Yeah, so my best friend Celeste is super bookish, and she's the one that got me back into reading about 5 years ago. And I was looking for a Christmas present for her, and I Googled bookish presents, bookish gifts, bookish presents for besties. And I could not find, there's like a lot of the same thing over and over and over again, which there's so many fantastic book boxes, but there was nothing like that was like elevated and curated and the way that I wanted it to be. So I was thinking, what if I love to pair wine with food and wine with cheese and different things. And after visiting over 500 California wineries and like working at a winery myself, I thought, what if I created a box that had special edition books and a wine that's perfectly paired to match with the vibes of the book? And so it kind of was inspired by not being able to find what I wanted to gift to my best friend, Celeste.
Wow, that is so cool. I recently just started getting into like drinking different kinds of wine. Before, I was like a Moscato girly, like basic. So I love that because you can kind of try different things and you're like, okay, what's the vibe of my book and what's the vibe of the wine then? That's so cool. So on that, how do you then choose your authors to go with each quarter?
Yeah. So something I really love about the bookish community is that we have this whole network of readers and indie authors and bookish creators and bookstore owners. And so a lot of it was like recommendation based. And so myself and my team, we read every single book and decide if it's a good fit. So like with Lauren's book, I fell in love with Bound by Hearts and Stone. And just like absolutely love the characters and the heart and the themes and the setting and all of that. And I felt like it's so magical and so just like a true romance and with fantasy. And so it's based upon like actual readers and romantasy lovers devouring books and selecting what we think that our Bookish Wine members would resonate most strongly with them.
Okay. And then when you read that book, so like when you read Lauren's book, is it like just solely you that gets to choose which wine you think would pair best because you have like so much experience, like you had said? Or do you kind of have some other people that go along with you to pair that wine with the book?
So I work in collaboration with my team with winemakers. And then we have a chef who's like a renowned chef that we work with. So we're really looking at it. The story comes first, the book comes first, and then we pair a wine that matches with the characters, the themes, the tropes, the overall vibes of the book to kind of bring it together and have this really like immersive and sensory experience. So it's not just me. I cannot take credit for that. But yeah, there's a team of people that we work together. This last week, we had the terrible job of tasting 32 different wines.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Bummer.
And so, and, It was horrible. And then we had to collaborate to say, okay, which one do we think is going to pair best with Bound by Hearts and Stone? And we'll release that later. Later in the month, we'll disclose what that wine is and why we chose it.
That's so
Wow.
cool. Jen, I wanted to ask, what is the inspiration for your logo design? I think it's a very beautiful logo. I think it's very classic, but I want to see like what your thoughts were behind designing that.
Yes. So first of all, I really wanted it to feel like really magical and like really beholden to the romanticy elements that we see in so many books that we love. So Jill Ross, our designer, we gave her ideas and our own imagination and creativity. And then she like brought that to life. So we have the book, we have the wine glass for Bookish Wine. We have a fairy, which is like the magical element. We have crown and the crescent moon. We have a sword and a dragon. So it's kind of just like the book is coming alive. The wine is coming out of the book. It's all connected. And just kind of like paying homage to all the different themes that we love in romanticy book. I'm going to Love Lit Con at the end of the month. And so I'm going to use my box to kind of store like bookmarks and character art and things like that. I've had members that use it to store wine corks or to store photographs.
Yeah.
So, or just like a treasure box to store special trinkets. So I like the idea of it being used to store bookish treasures.
So cute. And so I also want to hear a little bit more about your membership options. So do we have options like subscribe to each quarter, or can we just get one box if we wanted to try it? Like what do our like listeners have the option of doing?
So there's a membership. It's a Bookish Wine Club. We have like wine clubs. There's a quarterly shipments and releases. So there is that. We'd love everyone to join the Bookish Wine Club. And every 3 months, you'll get a bespoke like wine that you can't find anywhere else. A book, a special edition romanticy book that you can't find anywhere else. That version. And for volume one and volume two, we have given people the option to buy a solo box if they want to. In the future, that will not be available. But for Lauren, Lauren's box with the Bound by Hearts and Stone, because we are a new startup company, we are giving people the option if they'd like to try volume two before they become a member. So that is an option now, although in the future it won't be.
Makes sense. And then we have the cover. The cover has been released. It is stunning. I'm obsessed with it. As like her characters on the front. Do you have the book?
So the book is in mass production right now. I have a sample. This is a sample book. I don't want to show up close because it's not. This is like a mock-up sample. You can see the silver foiling. Okay. Mm-hmm. You can see there's like beautiful. Each of the three sides are like different grained edges. And we have a quote on the back with gold foiling. We have. I don't want to show it too much, but like character art on the character
I
art
love that.
And papers. And then there's beautiful chapter art.
But cute. It's gonna look, I love chapter art.
It's gonna look even better with the final version because this is like when they go to mass print, they're able to like use the better machines to create the book. So this is the sample or the mock-up of
it's almost like the art copy before the one's published. Yeah, that's so cute though. It's gonna look so good. Oh, that's beautiful.
So I also know that we talked a little bit. You mentioned that you're going to an event this year in San Diego. Can you talk to us more a little bit about what's next for Bookish Wine? Maybe more events you might be attending. Right now, most of your wine is paired with fantasy books, but do you maybe want to go outside of fantasy as well as staying inside as well?
Yeah. So what's next for us is that we're going to keep amplifying storytellers. And by storytellers, I mean authors, winemakers, because the winemaker is telling the story of the soil, the terroir, the environment, the grape, you know, authors, the amazing authors we work with, artists. So we're going to keep amplifying storytellers. We are going to be involved in several events, and we're also going to be working with authors to curate special wine, like for events that they can use to promote their book for book signings and things like that. So I'd love to get, we're going to get more and more into the event space as well. So with special like wine and food and book pairings and things like that. So there's really so many fun things that we can do as we grow and evolve as a company.
I'm so excited for you guys. So Lauren, you are the featured author and I want to know more about your book, Bound by Hearts in Stone. Tell us, what is your book about? What is the inspiration behind it?
So the story itself is a gargoyle monster romantasy. So it's kind of like a subgenre within already a subgenre, since romantasy is a subgenre. And so basically, I'll kind of answer it in reverse. So what inspired it is just something really silly. One of my goals as an author is I always want to write in romance, but I want to challenge myself to write in every subgenre of romance I can. And I had just started reading monster romance at that time because it was near Halloween time. And I really liked it. And I thought it would be really fun to write something. It would be really fun to challenge myself with a monster romance. And I basically just Googled like monster romances, what's been done, what hasn't. And while gargoyles have been done, I didn't see a whole lot. And I didn't see them being done in the way I wanted to do it, which is bridging that monster romance with the romanticy element, because a lot of monster romances that are out there are more like sci-fi or contemporary, and there wasn't a ton of like romanticy monster romance, and I definitely didn't see any that were like gargoyle. So I thought, hey, gargoyles can be hot because who doesn't love rock hard men? The romance. And I kind of just rolled with it. Yeah, so I was just like, what can I make attractive? What can be, I was like, oh, gargoyle. And so I decided to write a gargoyle romantasy. And when I started it, I probably got 30,000 words in and deleted the whole thing and restarted it because I didn't like the way I was doing it, because I felt like I was really trying to follow the patterns of what I've already read. And I realized that didn't work for me as a storyteller. So I needed to just kind of do my own thing. So yeah, but the story itself, it takes place in a fictional kingdom. And basically the premise of the story itself is that in this kingdom, 100 years prior, the land was shared with gargoyles, orcs, fae, elves, pretty much any kind of creature I could think of, I threw it in there. And then humans did what humans do, got all uppity and said, hey, everything non-human, you gotta go. And so this is now 100 years later, where the gargoyles have now moved up to the Obsidian Mountains, which is a part of the kingdom, and basically formed their own community. And now, since it's been 100 years, most people don't even know they're real. They just think they're legends, myths, bedtime stories to scare children. But every now and again, the gargoyles come down from the mountains to really stick it to the king, and they do raids on any transports to steal supplies, weapons, etc. And basically where this story starts is on one of the raids, where our main gargoyle Jet, in the middle of this raid, sees a prison cart transporting Evelette, a prisoner, to her execution. And he decides to save her, takes her home. And that's probably even more dangerous because now she's amongst gargoyles who don't like humans very much. So, you know, but it's their love story.
What do you want readers to know beforehand? Because sometimes monsters, they can be a lot whenever they might be 7 feet blue, made of rock.
This is,
yeah,
romance. Bound by Hearts and Soul will be my first one. So I need to be prepared.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I will say, this is a very, ease you into it gently, because like I said, it's bridging the romanticy. So it's still that romanticy factor. And the romance, I always mm-hmm. focus on the romance first. And while like, yes, he is this big, you know, thing of, you know, with stone in his skin, there's a whole explanation of how that works, and wings and whatnot, and intimidating. He is actually a golden retriever cinnamon mm-hmm. roll. He's one of the sweetest people. I always say I wrote him for me. Like, so I was like, I don't care if anybody else doesn't like him. He's my book boyfriend. He's my book husband. Okay. I created this thing. So I will say this is a good way to ease yourself into it. Because like I said, I've read Monster Romance. I enjoy it. And there's some where I'm like, whoa, that is just went one way, but I'm into it, but whoa. This, like I said, it really bridges the monster aspect with the romanticy aspect. So I think it's a good starter book for anybody who's looking to explore monster romance, because it's going to hit a lot of the same tropes you would find in any book or romanticy. But instead of like, you know, a handsome prince or, you know, a handsome fae.
So what does it feel like as an author having your book in a subscription box where you get this beautiful special edition? What are you feeling right now?
A lot. So I'm an indie author. I do have one book that is traditionally published, but that's still a newer one as well. But just being an indie author, I felt like a lot kind of happened, not quickly, but in ways I didn't expect. So like, for example, for Jen, I never met her before. She was on my ARC team. How she found it, I don't even know. I did have ads up looking for ARC readers. I don't know if she found it through somebody else. But I remember sitting at work, it was like an overnight rehearsal. So it was like 1-2 in the morning. I don't remember. But she messaged me and was like, hey, I just finished your book. Can we talk? And I was like, oh yeah, sure. I don't know you, but yeah, let's talk. And then literally within the next couple days, she told me about her company she was launching. And immediately I was like, I want to be involved with this some way, somehow. I know, like, at this point, I'm very new to the bookish space, new to writing in this genre. But after she told me all about it and her vision and whatnot, I was like, I need to be involved some way, somehow. I'll be your hype woman if I have to. So I think it's just really cool to have that. I don't want to say achievement, because I don't feel like I did anything to earn it necessarily, but I am really stoked to be a part of it. And I'm excited that somebody read my book and loved it so much and wanted it to be involved in such a new business, new company that is doing something that has never been done before. And yeah, so I think it's just, it's really cool. I feel like it's a little surreal when I actually see it in person. Because I've only seen the pictures and videos that she sent me.
Do you and Jen then work hand in hand to create the special edition book? Or like, how does that work?
Yeah, so basically we had talked and we had pitched different ideas of what should the cover look like. And I know there was at one point she had pitched like a leather bound kind of thing. And it was one of those, like, do we want to go with the traditional cover? I have another cover. I've got a couple different covers for this thing because I can experiment. So there was a couple different versions, and the art one was the one that she thought would be beautiful. And the art itself was a commission I had from one of my favorite artists. She's so wonderful to work with. And Jen basically was like, let's put that on the cover of the book. And I said, absolutely. And the edges themselves are actually designed by the person who did the cover design of the, like, just a traditional paperback. So, and then the interior stuff is designed by a different book cover artist who did another edition of the book. So I feel like this book is like comprised of so many different artists. Like, it's so crazy. And then you have the art inside and then the chapter headers. So it's, there's a lot of artists who worked on this, and basically I just kind of pitched things around to Jen and we talked about what do we want it to look like? What are some of the aspects? And basically we threw it all together and we're like, does this work?
Yeah, I've been so fortunate to work with Jess Cathers, who did Child of Chevet, and Lauren Sinatra so far. And I can't talk about the other authors, but like Lauren's book and Jess's book were some of my favorite books I've ever read. So it's really like the dream to be able to read a book, fall in love, work with these amazing indie authors, and then, you know, have these special editions out in the world. And Lauren, it's a case by case situation with each author. But Lauren had worked with all of these authors, and then we were able to cohesively put it together. So, and I love for this special edition. I love it. Kind of like harkens back to those romance novels from the 80s and 1980s and 1990s.
Yeah.
Where I don't know. I love that because that used to be more common and now it's more rare. So I like to kind of like those old, you know, the romance novels.
Oh, well, this has been incredible. Thank you both for joining us. We are so excited for volume 2 of Bookish Wine. This has been awesome. And if you are listening on our show today, please make sure you go to our show notes because in our show notes will be a special promo code just for our listeners, where if you order the box of Bookish Wine for this quarter, you get the audiobook as well. So you can immersive experience. You can listen to the book while you read the special edition and drink this beautiful wine that has been curated just for you guys. So thank you again for joining the Goodish Girls, and we'll talk to you guys later.